In your hearts with me. Our gracious Lord, just even receiving the forgiveness of sins as we did at the beginning of this service, that is enough. Then to be piled on with more grace, I see what you just did for Angel. Oh Lord, we are more than thankful as we remember also our own baptismal grace calls us your own by name and gives us eternal joy. Even in the midst of the trials and needs of life. Now, dear Lord, we pile on that beautiful third scoop on top, the beautiful word that we've just heard. And now, dear Lord, I ask you to bless my lips and our hearts, that we might be stayed only upon you, our Savior and our Redeemer, even so. Amen.
Amen.
The beloved sheep of the Good Shepherd, we are so blessed. I want to say that loud and clear. We are so blessed. When I read the headlines of the day with all of the question marks and the fears, all I can say is we are so blessed. Because our hope is not in those things. It's in the crucified one who rose for our forgiveness. And we just celebrated that with Angel's baptism today. That is a wonderful reminder for us. Here is this little guy who couldn't put his own shoes on this morning, who didn't get dressed by himself. And yet, he's now clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And he will wear that for the rest of his earthly life, and he will wear that for eternity. That's amazing stuff. All the other stuff in this life, it kind of comes and goes, it ebbs and flows, it doesn't matter. Eternal life. The beauty of knowing that you, the beauty of knowing that young angel, as he grows, his sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your place to take all of your fears and all your lonelinesses and all of those question marks that come into life before us. I think it's wonderful that our text today has a young child brought in. That really is a sermon illustration. By the way, it's interesting. You know, pastors and their wives don't have children. They have little sermon illustrations. Right? And it's easy just to take that little child as a sermon illustration. But he wasn't. Because when the Savior looked at him and took him up in his arms, he took him one for whom he died and rose again. And that little child, though unnamed to us, was named to him. He was his own. The scripture begins today, the gospel does. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not learn anyone to know. So what all happened before? Oh, not much, just the transfiguration on Mount Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus, and all of a sudden they're met by Moses and Elijah, and his face and his raiment are all, you know, changed, and he comes down, and some other things happen, and now there's a little bit of arguing that's going on. How about that? But before Jesus gets to what's in their heart, he has to tell them what is in his heart, what's in the heart of Jesus. These words are so big, I do not want us to miss them. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed after 3 days, he will rise. That's what's on Jesus' heart. The nine felt left out. They weren't up there with Peter, James, and John. Right? So now, it's just revolutionary arguing. Well, who's the greatest? We all know that in families, don't you? Hey, Mom, you know, I'm your favorite kid. No, I'm your favorite kid. No, I'm your favorite kid. Right? That happens to all of us, doesn't it? In our families, if there's more than just one child in the family. So that's just all part of our fallen human nature. They come to Capernaum, and they didn't answer. What were you discussing? They weren't really discussing, and the Greek word there is But Jesus knows, and so he's got this little edge in the word that he uses. So what's going on, guys? What are you all about here? They kept silent on the way they argued with one another about which one was the greatest. And he sat down, which is what you do when you're a teacher. It's interesting. We now have pastors and teachers stand and the people sit. In Jesus' day, the way we would do this is everybody would rise and I'm going to sit right here and teach you. So when you hear that Jesus sat down, and it's not for a meal, remember he's putting on his teacher's hat. Okay? So Jesus sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, how do you know I was thinking about that? He must be last of all and servant of all. What it says in chapter 10 of Mark is that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, and that many means all. It's also interesting that what he said earlier, what was on his heart, the Son of Man is going to be delivered with the hands of man, and they will kill him after they've killed him after 3 days he will rise. That is the second of three what are called passion predictions that Jesus makes in Mark's Gospel. And it's easy to remember where to find them. I always think of looking at my watch. Do I have an 8:30 appointment, a 9:30 appointment, and a 10:30 appointment? I sure do. Because you'll see it's not quite at 8:30. It's like an 8:31 or 9:31. But if you think of time, the first time that he tells him he's going to be handed over and crucified and killed is in about 8:30. Mark 8:30. The second time, which is our gospel today, is at Mark 9:30. And the third time will be at 10:30. Mark 10:30. It's a good way to remember these passion predictions that are in the gospel. But what is he saying? He's telling them that he is first. We can't make this about us. We have to see that it's about Christ. And the beautiful thing in the scriptures is that once we see that all the scriptures are about Christ, he then turns it and makes it about us. But if I go in there and I want to say, you know what? You've never met anybody more humble than I am. I have such a servant's heart. Can I tell you about me? I am the greatest servant. I'm so good. You should see what I did yesterday. You should have seen what I intended to do. It was even twice as much. Well, what do you think about me? A little full of myself? Just a little. Right? So it's not a matter of how humble can I be, because that gets back into the law. I'm going to save myself if I can be more humble than you are. I can serve more of you first before myself with the idea that I'm putting myself first. That's not right. This is about Jesus, who truly did humble himself and died on that cross. That's why, again, in this world, we look to our baptismal grace, to the fact that there are nail marks in those hands. Not in yours, not in mine, not in any other person we know. The only way that we can see our hope is in a pair of nail-pierced hands. So he wants us to look not out here, not over there, not even to each other, but to Christ. And so here we have them arguing along the way, and he says, I'm the one who will be last of all. And you'll see that very shortly as I go to the cross. I will take all of your sin. Not most of your sin, not many of your sins, not 99 and 44 100s. This is not ivory stone, which, by the way, is still impure. This is my blood and righteousness, says the Lord, which is utterly pure. And I'm going to give it all for you. I am the greatest servant of all. Now, in me, you are now given a new heart. That's what happened to Angel this morning. That's what happened to each one of you this morning as you confessed your sins. You were given the pure heart of God. And so now when you see someone in need, they're your brother or they're your sister, you do what you can to meet it. You serve them. But this is first and foremost about Christ. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Now, I used the superlative in my speech. All, every, never, always. But I can't really do that. It's not really fair. Because it's mostly, and it's sometimes, and it's sort of. Superlative use, the complete end of all things, is only true for Christ. When he says that I love you all, the whole world, he means no one excluded. When he says I died for all, no one is excluded. When he says I rose for all, no one is excluded. When he says I'm here to serve all, no one is excluded. And so just to make the point, because it was so important, I don't know where he taught. They were in Capernaum. Maybe they were at Peter's mother-in-law's house where he'd been earlier, where he healed her. There was a child there. And the child probably wasn't paying much attention. You know how kids are always picking something up and looking at it. Next thing you know, they're going over here and doing whatever. The kid probably didn't know that Jesus was really there in the same sense that maybe the apostles did. But he goes over and brings the child in their midst. And then he touches him, picks the child up. I love that. One thing that we all are is children of God. That's my last name, remember? My hands get sticky, and I need somebody to clean them. I hold them up like this, and they say, help me. And he does. That's my confession of sins. It doesn't have to always be the way we read it in the hymnal. It just needs to be, help me. And I love you. So he strengthens those who are weak. Now it's interesting. He uses the name of Son of Man. That's Ezekiel's name for the Savior. Of all the Old Testament, most of the times he talks about Son of Man is in the book of Ezekiel. Now, do you know what the name Ezekiel means? God will strengthen. We're talking about forgiveness of sins for these guys that were putting themselves first when they couldn't, and seeing the one who did put himself last for their sakes. And when I think about the child, I think about the Christ child. I have here the old hymnal. You all remember the DLH? I'm going to try and sing, and if it doesn't work out well, I'll read to you the words of Martin Luther. It's a Martin Luther hymn that didn't make it into our new hymnal. It's to the tune of one Jordan's Bank in the Baptist Pride, but it's different words. To shepherds as they watched by night appeared a host of angels bright. Behold the tender babe, they said, in yonder lowly manger laid. At Bethlehem in David's town, as Micah did of old make known, 'tis Jesus Christ, your Lord and King, who doth to all salvation bring. Oh, then rejoice that through this his Son, God is with sinners now at one. Made like yourselves of flesh and blood, your brother is the eternal God. Oh, then rejoice that through his Son, God is with sin. Oh, first word. This is what I want to put to get the first word. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. I'm going to read that last one again. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. But hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe. Not one he will or can forsake, who him his confidence doth make, that all his wiles that tempter try, you may his utmost powers defy. He shall and must at last prevail. God's own ye are, ye cannot fail. To God forever sing your praise, with joy and patience all your days. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I was thinking about that because of the age in which we live. It was interesting, last Friday, Kawhi and I went to go get our flu shots. We went down to Kaiser, and I happen to have cerebral palsy, and so my right side is spastic. And whenever I get a shot, they always want to go on your left arm, because most people are right-handed. And I said, please use my right arm. Well, almost always, the nurse will say, relax your arm, and they'll say, it is relaxed, it's just spastic. It's always, it always looks that way, and don't worry about it. And I said to her rather innocently, you know, I don't fear anything. Now, it's not quite true in the total sense of the word, but in the larger theological sense, I don't, because I'm God's child. Because what, and ye shall and must at last prevail, God's own ye are, and ye cannot fail. To God forever sing your praise with joy and patience all your days. And I made some comment that I not only had the cerebral palsy, but that I was a retired pastor. And this nurse, she looked so hungry, so thirsty for something really good, because people come in and they're all tense and all you're doing is just jab, you know, and doing whatever, and people are afraid. She said, can you preach us a sermon? Yeah, this is like a minute and a half or 2 minutes, right, before I have to leave. And so I told her, and everybody in there just stopped what they were doing. There were about five or six of these folks that were doing poking and getting poked. And they all stopped. And I just said, you know, it's so amazing. I said, look at this world which we live with the COVID and with Afghanistan and with all of the news of the day and how frightful things are, and we're all isolated, you know, and the masks on, all of that stuff. And I said, I have no fear, because the good Lord died on the cross for you and for me and for all people. And I said, this is the most wonderful news. And I said, it never changes. It's all his faithfulness is there for you all the time. I said, it's easy to be distracted by all this other stuff that's out there. And when you're feeling really lonely or depressed or down, think about the cross. And then remember that the tomb itself is empty. He rose for you. He died for you, and then he rose for you. That's the best it can be. And so it is. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. You are safe. Like the little child that Jesus picked up and put in his arms, that child is utterly safe. Dad, as you held your son in your arms and you put his head back, he didn't chafe, did he? He trusted his father's arms. That says a lot. It's beautiful. It's utterly beautiful. So we are at a place where we are seeing the love of Jesus in a very real way. He was going to the cross. They were figuring out who was first. He said, wait a minute. I am first, and because I am first, I will be last. And because I was last, you are now first. Angel, you are now first in the kingdom of God. And his holy glory is in your life as you grow up in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds and through this same Savior, our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.